Hey, y'all, it's me, Dr. Samina Ramon, Gyno Girl. Welcome to another episode of Gyno Girl Presents Sex, Drugs, and Hormones. I am super excited. Again, I'm always excited, it seems like, when I say this. But I am. I'm excited because I got to interview my friend today. So she is amazing. So I'm going to tell you all about her. But before I do that, I just wanted to reintroduce myself. I'm Dr. Samina Ramon. I'm Gyno Girl on Instagram and my other socials. I have a YouTube channel called Gyno Girl TV, and I am a board-certified gynecologist with a specialty in sexual medicine and menopause, and am currently in private practice, and I'm about to launch a concierge practice with the amazing Lisa Larkin's group, Ms. Medicine. And so, you know, stay tuned for that because I want to elevate the care that I am providing and not be beholden to insurance companies anymore. And so that's going to be an amazing thing coming up. And I'm also working on a book called Brown Girl's Disease? A Guide to Sexual Health and Empowerment Through a South Asian Lens. So stay tuned. I'm going to be releasing the book cover soon. But anyway, today I am I had the pleasure of interviewing a friend of mine that I met, I don't know, 6 years ago, with the International Society for the Study of Women's Sexual Health. And we've kept in touch and collaborated ever since. But her name is Dr. Lindsay Harper. She's a board-certified OBGYN and an associate professor of OBGYN for Texas A&M. She's a fellow of American College of OBGYN. She is a fellow for the International Society for the Study of Women's Sexual Health. And she is founder and CEO of Rosie, a women's health technology platform that connects women who have sexual health concerns with hope, community, and research-related solutions. I mean, what do you do? What do so many of us do when we get frustrated with the medical system, with women's healthcare? You know, we either wallow in it and just are pissed off and write about it on Instagram, or we do something about it. And Lindsay did something about it, which is awesome. She has been named Forbes Top 53 Women Disrupting Healthcare, a top innovator in North Texas for 2020, a DBJ Top Woman in Tech in 2023, and Dr. Harper and Rosie were awarded Women's Health Innovation Summit Judges Choice Award. It's awesome. It's a great way to help patients and to help yourself and educate yourself. So you're going to learn all about it and her journey. So let's get at it. Hey, y'all. It's me, Dr. Samina Ramon, Gyno Girl. Welcome back to another episode of Gyno Girl Presents Sex, Drugs, and Hormones. I'm Dr. Samina Ramon. As you heard in my introduction, I have the fabulous Dr. Lindsay Harper with me today, who is amazing. I met her years ago at Ishwish, and we've collaborated and we've developed a friendship, and we don't talk to each other enough. But Dr. Lindsay Harper, welcome to my podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for the invitation, and it's so good to see your face and hear your voice, and I'm thrilled for our discussion today.
Yeah, me too. I've been trying to figure out like the best way to introduce people because I was toying with the, it's Dr. Lindsay Harper, you know, the Oprah one. But then I was like, I kind of like how Alexandra Cooper does it on Call Your Her Daddy. Like,
I see that there's a documentary that I will probably end up watching, but I've never listened to an episode. So you'll have to inform me.
She's just this, like, you know, Dr. Lindsay Harper, welcome to Call.
Okay, super chill.
Yeah, she's cool. Well, I'm so glad I got to see your face too, because it's been a long time since I've seen you in IRL. I think maybe 2 years.
I know, which is hard to believe. How does that happen?
I don't know. But a lot of people know who you are already. But for those who don't, as I said in my introduction, you're a pioneer in the tech world for women's health and really for women's sexual health as well. Exclusively awesome app.
I also rap.
She also raps. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. The southerner as all. Anyway, yeah. She has an exclusively awesome app for women's sexual health called Rosie. And so we're going to talk all about that and all the great things that you're doing. But tell us, like, you're an OBGYN like me, and we have similar stories to probably why we came into the sexual medicine realm. But let's let our listeners know why you did this and, like, why you came into this realm in general.
Yes. Well, you know, I think I don't know how far I should go back, but I definitely always wanted to be a doctor from the time I was a little girl. And then when I got into college as part of my like college experience, my dad got me a job qualified for at a hospital, being a labor and delivery tech, where you like go and, you know, make sure that the the biohazard bags are free of instruments. And like, it was not a glamorous job, but I loved it. I loved every minute of it. And the doctors there knew that I was planning to go to medical school. And so they would bring me in the OR and like show me all the things. Sounds and nice. one of them one time was like, I just delivered a double footling breech. You don't know what that is right now, but you will when you get older.
Wow.
And I still remember it to this day. So it was just all these interactions with that aspect. And then I got into medical school, thought maybe I would do pediatrics or who knows. But I ended up loving trauma surgery. And I also loved my OB rotation. And so that was people tried to talk us out of it. I don't know how many times you got tried to talk out of it. So
I know. It's common.
My older brothers are urologists, yeah, and they're like, you do not want to be an OB-GYN.
I think probably 20 years or so into it, we might have a different perspective, but there wasn't anything anybody could have done to ever talk me out of it. And so then I finished residency, private practice, and this was like my seventh and eighth year in private practice. I started to kind of realize on the sexual health front as my patients, we were like maybe through a couple of babies together, it's like, you kind of, for people who are listening, you kind of age with your patients, right? So this is around the time we were all kind of going through the same last stage. And my patients were like, hey, I love my partner, but I literally do not care if I ever have sex again. And it's causing like a major problem. And I was like, huh. And then, it was just one patient after the next.
Can you write me a note so I don't have to have sex with my doctor?
I'm like, okay. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I had zero idea what to do. And the other thing at this time is that I wasn't even asking my patients. Like, I would ask them how many sexual partners, like the things we're taught to ask. But I wasn't asking about sexual function, sexual pleasure, like nothing.
We don't learn to do that anyway.
And so then it started coming up more. And I asked, we don't learn. We don't learn anything. And so when I got angry, I realized that I had spent 2 weeks in the erectile dysfunction clinic at the VA, at the Veterans Administration Hospital, but I had not learned one lick about women's sexual health, even though I was a women's doctor. Like, it's just, it blew my mind. And the other thing that blew my mind was that I didn't even realize this was a blind spot. Like, I wasn't like, oh, my hospital sucked at this, or oh, I suck at this. I thought I was a pretty good doctor. And then this just presented itself. It like landed in my lap because all these patients were having these questions. And I was like, wait a minute, why don't I know anything about this? And so I went on this Facebook group of OBGYNs that is amazing. And I was like, hey, is this just me? Like, did I land in a weird place in Dallas where everyone's having sexual problems? Or did I go to a residency program that just did a terrible job of this? Or, like I was trying to figure it out like intellectually. And what I came to realize is that, as you well know, Samina, 43% of women have a sexual health problem. We don't get any training in residency. It's starting to change a little bit now because of, the work that so many people, including you, are doing. And these women are just left to suffer in silence and embarrassment and shame. And they think it's only them who are suffering. So that really compounds all of those problems. And so when I started to put all these puzzle pieces together, I was like, what in the heck? Like, I can't believe that this was in 2019. In 2019, this is the state of the union and we're all okay with it. Like, I just can't believe it. So then I ended up, I asked in that same Facebook group, where do people go to learn about this? And that's how I learned about ISWISH. Came to the first conference, the fall course, and I felt like I had stepped onto a different planet. I was like, what is this? The vestibule? What is this place?
That's not vagina. It's vulva. Like, we didn't even
It's vulva. What are you talking about? Like, I felt like I had landed on a different planet. And so it was just like, I just felt like, okay, this is definitely what I need to be learning about right now. And then I connected with so many awesome people just like you. You know, there's just like a crew, right? And it's just so good, the energy. And I just fell in love with it. And I was like, okay, I could open a sex medicine clinic in Dallas, which still sounds amazing. Or maybe there's an opportunity to create a platform where I can turn back to all of our friends and colleagues who are OBGYNs who haven't had sex medicine training and say, hey, this is super common and we all need to be asking these questions. But if you do, here's something you can recommend to your patients that is evidence-based, that you can feel confident in, and that your patients can find resources for the next steps. And that's really where Rosie was born. And I felt like at the time that if I didn't do it with my education, with my passion, with my resources, that why would I expect anyone else to do it? You know, I kind of felt like it was my obligation at the time. And I just haven't looked back and I'm obsessed.
Yeah, amazing. Because it's not easy to like, you know, do this like digital platform and be an entrepreneur in the femtech industry when it's male dominated too. And women's pleasure is never going to be considered a priority. So like, how did you even like come to the idea of like, I mean, the idea, but like, how did you like, what was the process like?
So, I have a secret weapon, and that is that I married an entrepreneur. My entrepreneur husband married a doctor. Like, I am a doctor. Yeah, there's just no way around it. I love it. But I married an entrepreneur, and he helped me to understand how entrepreneurs' brains work. Okay. And so from the very beginning of our marriage, which we now have been married for 17 years, he said, you know, there are so many problems in the world to be solved. Look for the ones that you uniquely are positioned to solve.
Yeah.
And so that whenever you hear things like that, it shifts your worldview from like just constant frustration, especially I think in medicine, there's so many things that need to be changed.
Yeah.
To one of like, where's the door? And so what that did for me was like, I started just like constantly, and my oldest daughter does this now, like, what about this? What about this? Yeah. What about this? Yeah. What about this?
Yeah.
And then when this one came to me, I was like, well, there's absolutely no question. This is 100% it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to just do whatever I need to do to push that door open and make it happen.
Yeah.
And so it was just, you know, I think I don't have a great explanation for it other than my brain was primed.
Uh-huh.
The problem to me was very obvious once I was looking for it. And then in terms of the next steps, it's like I had a lot of great resources around me in terms of the technology people and people who had started many businesses to try to help me understand where to begin. And what I really learned and what I try to do is hopefully through friendships is give back to other people who are also trying to do similar things for women. And because I really did have a lot of guidance. And what I learned is that you don't have to know anything. And that was really the biggest mind shift for me was like in medicine, we go to medical school and then we go to residency. There's all this oversight. There's all this training. There's all these if this, then this. And in startup land, there's absolutely none of that. And you literally are making it up as you go. And that feels very scary at first, especially to people who have trained like us and with maybe our personalities. But once you get comfortable being like, I don't know what is happening, but I think this is the right next thing. And you start to trust that voice and that inner sort of direction, then it starts to open up. But there's a lot of self-question, a lot of self-doubt at the beginning because there was no red book. You know, like we have a red book in OBGYN when we were training, like, let me turn to page 499 of the red book, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. It's like, wait, what do I do now? And so there's a lot of that, but what all you have to do is just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Like do the next thing that you think you need to do. And then eventually, you know, something will break and it's never over. I don't feel like I've accomplished 1/1000th of what I intend to.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's always a work in progress and that's okay. And it's the journey, blah, blah, blah.
No, it's great. And you're such an amazing collaborator. You're always willing to bring other women to the table, which I find, you know, so, you know, amazing because, you know, there are people out there who are just like, oh, this is my thing and you can't be involved in this world and, you know.
Well, thank you for saying that. But honestly, I would not want to operate, and I know you're the same, in any other environment.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, especially for, I think people sort of stepping out and doing something kind of outside of what's considered the norm, it can be pretty isolating because you're taking a lot of, I'm doing air quotes, risks a lot of the day. And so for me, my whole life really is about connection.
Yeah.
And if I don't have that connection with people who are like-minded and who are, you know, really pushing to do similar things, then I just don't want to have anything to do with it. That's why I love being an OBGYN. That's why I love the community of women OBGYNs. That's why I love the sex medicine community. That's why I love the female, like the women's health startup community. There are such strong bonds in each of these places that it gives you the energy and the inspiration to keep going because there's a lot of times where you're like, this is real hard. You know what I mean?
I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's really true. Yeah. And sometimes you think, oh, I should just stop. Like even, you know, I have a small example of just like when I teach students and sometimes I'm like, oh, maybe. And then you get like, you know, an award or you get like a student that tells you like how amazing, you know. And so then you're like, oh, I should keep going. This is like changing people's lives. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. You got to keep going. Yeah, it's those little things that really, really mean so much, you know, and I think that's across life. And that's true in this realm for sure as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us about Rosie app and tell us all the new things that are coming in within it. Because you and I collaborated on one aspect of Rosie, I think in the beginning, right? When you started religion and sex and stuff.
Oh, it was amazing. It was so long ago. But it's honestly one of my favorite things we've ever done. I talk about this a lot because the reason why I think I'm so drawn to sex medicine is because, and Iswish was so good about setting up this context for me, is that it is such a multidisciplinary team sport, right? And I think that's actually how we all view health, like women's health generally, but you cannot separate it out in sexual health. It is imperative, right?
Biopsychosocial and all the way.
Exactly. And so I just love that aspect. And I wish that our whole health system were built that way. But so what that means to people who are listening who aren't, you know, sex medicine people like we are, is that there's a biological piece of the puzzle, right? Stuff in our bodies. Mm-hmm. There's a social piece of the puzzle, which is what is around us, what is our context. And then there's a psychological piece of the puzzle. What are we thinking? How, you know, what is the psychological sort of framework of sexuality, both internally and externally. And when you're talking about sexuality and sexual medicine, these things must all be taken into account in order to address a problem or a patient appropriately. Yeah. And I just love that. And so one thing that I got super duper interested in, I live in the South, right? Mm-hmm. So we have a very conservative Christian predominance here, but we also have a lot of Muslim patients. Right. We have, you know, a fair amount of Jewish patients, not as much Orthodox Jewish patients, but, you know, a lot of conservative religions. And so one thing that I just love is thinking about how can we speak to women as individuals, right? So within their context, whatever that might be, and help them find freedom and release shame in whatever context that is. And I firmly believe that we should not all be the same. Yeah. I don't want everyone to be like me. And I think I love that about the world.
Yeah.
And I want to speak to women in the place where they are. And a huge part of that we can never get rid of or deny is religion. Right? And there's so much strife in religion, but there is also so much beauty there as well. And so
so much resemblance between the religions, right?
Oh, like, that's what really blew my mind.
Yeah.
Yes, is because I am not like a super religious person. I will say I'm more spiritual than religious, but we partnered with people like, well, with you, right, to create the class for Muslim women speaking about sexuality. We also partnered with a conservative Christian gynecologist and with an Orthodox Jewish sex therapist, Batsheva, Marcus, and Mark.
Yeah.
And I was just mind blown to read I didn't write any of this. Y'all wrote all of it, right? So I'm learning from you all about the religious sort of context with sexuality in each of these religions and how completely similar they were. I mean, it was just, it blew my mind. Yeah. And so ever since then, I'm like, if I ever get a wild hair and go get a PhD in anything, it will 100% be religion and sexuality because it is fascinating. And I just love that part of it. And I think people on the platform and everyone that we talk to appreciates that aspect of it as well, because it does communicate that we are trying to address people as whole people. And we're not trying to say, this is the same output for everybody. We expect you to receive it in the same way. Absolutely. And that's how I think medicine should be delivered. Absolutely. And, you know, and the whole experience of it. So thank you for partnering with us on that. It's been a very, very meaningful part of the platform.
Well, wonderful. Thanks so much. And the platform's so much more than that. There's a lot of educating, but there's also some treatments, right? Like there is actually like some data to support how using the Rosie app and some of its form has like will decrease your or increase your libido or decrease hypoactive sexual desire disorder. So tell us a little bit about this.
Yeah. So whenever I was first like ideating on this, I was like, you know what, let's just see what I can bring together that has an evidence base that we know is therapeutic in some way for women, right? So right. we know that education is therapeutic for women. So there's a ton of that. We also knew that erotica was an evidence-based intervention for women. And at the time, it was like the 50 Shades of Grey, you know, yeah. phenomenon had just passed. And I remember being like on the beach with my 50 Shades book, with my entire in-law family. And there, it's a big family.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all of us were reading the same exact thing. And I was like, this is hilarious.
That's
like,
so good. That's
so
good.
And so I just loved the idea of having erotica on Rosie. Because it's very private. Mm-hmm. You're not carrying around a book and no. everyone knows what you're up to over yeah. there. Like yeah. it's just a way to access it in a private, secure, hopefully shame-free way. And they're short stories because, right. you know, who's got time these days? Who's got time? And it really taps into that responsive desire pathway, which uh-huh. is where, you know, when we become aroused, then we experience desire. And we yeah. have seen that play out over and over and over, multiple studies.
Yeah.
And we were able to show that Rosie improves desire and arousal by about 17% in 2 studies. Yeah. So yeah, there's something to it. I didn't make yeah. it up either. I just yeah. put it on this platform, right?
Yeah.
And so we also offer coaching, which is in a CBT-based format where we can work through problematic education or thoughts around sex and sexuality. There's a community aspect.
Yeah. You work with a group of coaches.
We do. Yeah. We train. We, you know, have yeah, a whole training protocol and everything. Yeah. And then we've
you're training coaches too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I just thought you had coaching on them. See,
yeah.
even me, I'm learning about more of what you're doing.
Here we go.
Expanded so much.
I know. It's a lot. And so we talk about almost every single aspect of women's sex and sexual health. And so that starts at, you know, and from 17 on. So we're not doing puberty because there's erotica on the app. The app has a plus yeah. 17 rating. So just to be clear on that, because everyone's like, oh, do you have stuff for my daughter? And I'm like, well, actually, there is a class on the platform that we recorded with Carrie Leff for yeah. To talk to your daughters about puberty and periods yeah. and sex. But that's for the moms. It's not for no. the daughters.
Yeah.
So just to clarify, but we help women ages 17, and our oldest person on the platform is 98, Samina. I love her.
Wow.
I know.
Love
it's not amazing.
It. Yeah.
And so we're really addressing sexuality throughout the lifespan. So pleasure, trauma, endometriosis, infertility, pregnancy, postpartum, you know, perimenopause, menopause, sex and aging, sex and cancer. I mean, just the whole gamut of it. And so we've got that Wonderful. Covered from the medical aspect, from the mental health aspect, and from the relationship aspect, as we mentioned. And then Wonderful. Subsequently, about a year ago, we started expanding into some other areas of women's health as well, because we looked at that user base and we're like, oh my gosh, we've got women across their entire lifespan, because that's what yeah. sexuality is, right? Sexuality's yeah. never over, luckily, hopefully. And yeah. so, and we can pull in all these other topics of women that are already on the platform. So we started providing some menopause support, some bone health support,
yeah,
some cancer specific support. We're in a clinical trial right now with women with gynecologic oncology cancers. And so there's a whole expansion outside of sexual health yeah. that exists on the platform now. So really, and we've also launched a feature called Quickies, which I love. Yeah. And it's where people who have expertise, so doctors like you and I, nurse practitioners, psychologists, dietitians, you know, anybody who has expertise in the area of women's health can come on and create short form video content. So it's a little bit like TikTok meets WebMD. So if you're yeah. looking for health related information, but you want to make yeah. sure it's been vetted, then Rosie is a safe place to find that as well.
Oh, I love it. And I've been meaning to record some quickies for you.
Yeah, girl. It's a quickie. It doesn't take long. Yeah. Yes. And for anybody who's listening who is a physician or a healthcare provider, we pay doctors to create that and providers to create that content. So we're not asking you to do it for free. I know that your expertise yeah. is you know, valuable, and we're trying to create a healthier ecosystem to share medical information.
Oh, wonderful. That's so awesome. And tell me who else you've been partnering with, because I read something. Remember, that's why I reached out to you. I was like, oh, this is so amazing. You're partnering with.
Yes. Yeah. So our very first B2B partnership was with Roche Diagnostics, and we did an HPV education campaign. So that was how this kind of all got started. And then we partnered with Pfizer on a few different things, including menopause, bone health. Migraine actually has been big. Yeah. About 40% of women on the Rosie platform experience migraine. It's crazy.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
Yeah. And then we've also partnered with Nutrafol. We're currently just signed a partnership with a company called Dare Pharmaceuticals, and they make only products for women. And the partnership that we're working on with them is a topical arousal drug, and it's not yet available, but it will be very soon. And so we're helping, women on the platform to understand arousal problems. Like, what even is arousal, right? That's a great question. We're helping on the patient side, on the healthcare provider side. And then for patients who start the medication, we'll also be supporting those patients while they're on the medication as well.
That's wonderful. Yeah. And I've been waiting for that one to come out because, everyone's always trying to use Viagra for, they're always trying to sneak in their husbands or partners' Viagra, but this is a topical sildenafil, which is the ingredient in Viagra. So, but used for arousal purposes. So it's going to be good.
It's very exciting.
On other podcasts before, but
this is
so exciting. I mean, you're just like, killing it across the board. And like, I'm so excited for you. It's like,
thank you so much. Some days it feels like we're killing it and other days it feels like we're not.
You're barely making it.
Yeah, we're getting by the skin of our teeth. But once again, this work is so important and we have such great support in the ecosystem. We're all extremely passionate about what we're doing and we know women need it. So there's just, we just put one foot in front of the other every day and just keep on keeping on. So thank you though.
I love it. I love it.
Thank you.
Anything new on the horizon within Rosie or any other new tech that you're thinking about?
Oh my gosh. There's always,
you probably can't talk about it.
There's always, that's the thing. It's actually been such an interesting experience because, there's been so many friends of ours, which I'm so happy and thrilled to see, writing books, right? Yeah. Which is great because
I'm working on one, by the way.
I love it. And I can't, it's so exciting.
I'll send you one. It's on South Asian women and sexuals.
Which is another, such an amazing topic. And I know Somna, who works at Rosie. Yeah. So lots and lots of excitement around that. What'd you say?
She's with you fully now.
And has been for a couple years.
Good.
So she's awesome. Wonderful. Yeah. So the interesting thing about a digital platform is that it's never over. Like a book, you're like, and it's shipped and it's done. This is never over. So, and that's a great thing. And it's also like an exhausting thing, right?
Because
it's like, because it's like, okay, AI, how are we going to use AI and blah, 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 blah. And it's a never ending learning experience for me, but it's also a never ending sort of evolution for the platform itself, because you can test and iterate and launch and pull back and try this and try that. And, you don't want to be doing things willy-nilly, but if there's a signal somewhere, then we'll follow it. And so I love this because it allows you to exercise so much creativity.
Yeah.
That I feel like sometimes in, just regular practice, you get distanced from. And because there's a little bit of loss of agency over how your day goes, what's going to happen. And so it's really great for me, particularly as the CEO of the company, to be able to be like, hey, let's give this a shot. Or what about these ideas? Or why haven't we thought about it this way? And then we just kind of, work with these premises until we can figure out if they make logical sense for the business or not. It's a very creative process, thankfully, which I've really enjoyed.
Yeah. I think it's been very interesting thinking outside of the box. Even like you said, your husband's been very supportive. I always talk about how mine was like, just start a practice, stop this useless work. And I was like, okay, that's what, you learn so much how to do any aspect of it. You don't learn any of it. And so it's been a huge trial and error, mainly error, but I've been provided good care for the last 10 years.
Exactly. And that's how it is. That's just what it is. And anything that you're doing something new, it's a lot of, oh my gosh, I just heard this phrase, but my perimenopause brain isn't going to think about it. It's like, succeed or learn or something. I don't know. Whatever. It's there's no failing. Yeah. You're just yeah, learning. You know what I mean? And it is data and it doesn't have to be bad necessarily. So
right. Awesome. Well, you're such an inspiration, Lindsay. And I'm just so happy that I've become friends with you. And I'm so happy to see you grow in so many ways. And hopefully I'll get to see you at some time soon. Like, I'm not sure. Are you going to any conferences that I'm going to?
I'm sure. Are you going to menopause?
Okay.
Yeah. I'll see you there. Yeah. Yay. And I'm sure like half of the people listening to this well.
So, well, thank you again. I mean, again, you're such an inspiration. And for those of you who don't know the Rosie app, check it out. It's amazing. And, you know, it's always part of my, like when I'm doing my low libido and HSD detox, I have your little, you know, QR code. And I'm like, my friend made this app.
Thank you. They're like, wait, what?
No, but she's legit. Like, she's legit. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like, okay. Well, that's amazing. Thank you for your support literally from day one. And I just value our friendship and your position in the field of sexual medicine so much. It's just been so fun to see all the people that we kind of started out together are coming into these leadership roles. It's just such an important progression. Mm-hmm. And I'm just honored to know you all and be involved, even if it's a little bit tangentially or on the fringe. Absolutely. So it's really exciting. Awesome.
All right. Well, thank you again, Lindsay. This has been a pleasure. And, hopefully we'll, as you continue to do stuff, I'll have you on again. So,
Perfect. Sounds great.
So fun. Anyway.
Oh, you too. Thanks, Amina.
So thanks, guys, for joining me for another episode of Gyno Girl Presents Sex, Drugs, and Hormones. I'm Dr. Samina Rahman. Remember, I'm here to educate so you could advocate for yourself. Please join me on my next episode.
If you have a second, please subscribe to this podcast. I'd love for you to be a follower and learn as much as you can about the things that we're going to talk about with all the people on our journey. Please review us on Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. These reviews really help. Review us, comment, tell me what else you want to hear to get more information. My practice website is www.cgcchicago.com. My website for Gyno Girl is www.gynogirltv.com. My Instagram is Gyno Girl, so please follow me for some good content. Additionally, I have a YouTube channel, Gyno Girl TV, where I love to talk about all these things on YouTube. And please subscribe to my newsletter, Gyno Girl News, which will be available on my website. I will see you next time.